morning, ladies and gentlemen. The first case for argument, AMI Diamonds versus Hanover Insurance Company. Ms. Ayala.
Good morning, Dolores Ayala, on behalf of Plaintiff Appellant AMI Diamonds.
Would you please speak up?
Can't hear you.
No, not the microphone. You just need to raise your voice.
Dolores Ayala, on behalf of Plaintiff Appellant. May it please the court, counsel. This matter presents a very straightforward insurance coverage dispute, namely whether AMI is entitled to coverage for the loss of over $100,000 in diamonds stolen from its authorized salesman, Mr. Magid Soleiman. Hanover asserts three exclusions to coverage. The question for this court is whether any of those three exclusions bar coverage. The most controversial of the three exclusions, the inner upon exclusion. The vast majority of courts that have decided this issue, not Illinois courts because there is no controlling Illinois authority on the matter, have held that in or upon are virtually synonymous. If they have not directly so held, then they have denied coverage.
What function do you think the word actually in the policy serves?
Most of the courts treating that issue.
I'm not asking you what other courts have said. I'm asking what function you believe the word actually serves.
I would concur with the courts that hold that actually tends to require something less than a constructive presence near the vehicle.
What I've been struggling with, Ms. Ayala, is how you are upon the vehicle if you are a number of feet away, even if you are watching it.
Right. The problem with upon is it really doesn't have any meaning whether you're standing right next to the vehicle, whether you're touching the vehicle, whether you're 2 feet away. What test would we impose? If it's 3 feet, 5 feet, 7 feet, that's obviously not going to be workable. Yet the reasonable expectations of the insured are important, and certainly the policy does not intend to exclude coverage.
I don't know what you mean when you say it's not going to be workable. Perfectly workable, it just doesn't provide coverage.
Well, I don't think it's workable, Your Honor, to set a bright line rule for how many feet away the insured can be.
But that's the reason why I asked you what function the word actually serves. Actually seems to me to say literally, not figuratively. And the line, well, near is close to upon, and therefore near is upon, is a figurative reading rather than a literal one.
Except that what would upon mean? Sitting on top of the vehicle?
Yes.
Yes?
That's what it says.
I would disagree with that. I don't think that...
Does the provision actually date back to when there were carriages and wagons and so on?
Possibly so. I'm not entirely certain. No, perhaps counsel for Hanover would be better suited to answer that question, but that's what some of the cases seem to indicate.
Did Soleiman lock? He didn't lock the car, did he, when he went over to help the woman with her directions?
He did not lock the car when he went over. He locked the car when he got out of the car to speak on the telephone. And then as he stood there about to re-enter, with his hand on the door to re-enter, is when he was diverted. And this is what I consider to be significant, because it was the
That's awfully careless. If you have $100,000 worth of diamonds in your car, you'd think you would lock it when you left the car for any reason. That would be elementary. And this is a clumsily worded phrase, the inner upon, and then there's the custody provision. But isn't it designed to let the insurance company off when the At a minimum, let the insurance company off when the insured is careless?
It is, and it's designed...
This is very careless of him. From his car, unlocked car?
I don't think it was careless, Your Honor, and here's why. Mm-hmm. Because he was diverted. There was an intervening
act. I understand diverted. It's not as... I mean, you can imagine dramatic situations, someone simulating a heart attack or someone... But someone beckoning for assistance with directions assistance with directions, even if you don't suspect, and I'm not suggesting he should have suspected that it was a setup, but you'd think it's not an emergency, so he could take, 10 seconds to lock the car before he goes over and talks to her.
Nevertheless, what about the next case? What about where it is an emergency? And that's where we need some construction.
Well, I think
that's where it's important.
I don't know that you get too far in emergency case either, but, emergency case would be a different case. But this case seems to be one where the kind of central purpose of the policy, it's what discussed under the heading of moral hazard. The insurance company doesn't want to have a policy that it actually encourages carelessness by shifting all the costs to the insurer.
No, it doesn't. And that's why I think that the test should be, what is the insured's intent? And did he intend to temporarily abandon the vehicle?
How?
In all of the other cases. I'm sorry?
That's a different exclusion. Abandoning the vehicle is an exclusion different from in or upon, so I don't see how it helps us understand what in or upon means.
Well, I don't know that there's another exclusion in the policy for abandoning. I'm only talking about a possible test, a test that was followed by the California Supreme Court and by the Virginia District Court in deciding the Star Diamond and the EMI cases, where they, in order to determine whether the insured is upon the vehicle, unless you're going to require literally that the insured is sitting on top of the hood of the car, which seems fantastic to me, then how will we determine whether an insured is upon? Did he intend to abandon the vehicle? All of the other cases that found.
That seems to
go too far
the other direction. When would a person intend to abandon his vehicle? I don't understand.
intend to abandon it simply by walking into a donut shop to have coffee, like
that's
all of those cases.
That's not an intent to abandon, surely.
That's what the other courts called
no,
it,
that's
a temporary abandonment.
Abandonment in
a temporary
property
abandonment.
Law. No, there's no such thing. Abandonment property law means you relinquish your claim to property. You abandon it, and then someone else can pick it up and appropriate it. That can't be the limiting principle here.
How much weight should we give Mr. Solomon's allegation that a white vehicle appeared next to his car when apparently he never mentioned that vehicle to the police who investigated the theft?
Your Honor, Mr. Solomon answered questions when the police questioned him. He speaks very little English. He answered the questions that were asked of him. Many questions were possibly not asked and never addressed. He saw a white vehicle. That's his testimony. That's his affidavit. It hasn't been countered. It hasn't been challenged.
What's extremely strange is why your client had not equipped him with a cell phone. Mm. Because then he wouldn't have to get out of the car to make a call. When you consider $100,000 worth of diamonds, not to have a cell phone with you.
Incomprehensible,
really.
Admittedly that we all do have cell phones today, and even at the time of the events in question, everyone that I know had a cell phone. He did not have one. He wasn't used to having one.
Did he have keys to the trunk of his car?
Yes.
Any explanation why the diamonds are just left sitting on the seat with the window rolled down rather than being put in a locked trunk?
He kept them between the passenger seat and his own front seat, right as an armrest. That's where he felt most secure with them.
But
he didn't feel
secure
leaving them in the trunk.
You can just reach in through the window and grab them.
Well, he says that the window was not rolled down, but there was a gap remaining open. That's what he says. In his words, 99% open.
Do you want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wood?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Bill Wood. I represent the defendant, Pilley, Hanover Insurance Company.
You can raise the podium if you want. No, not the microphone,
I'm
the
sorry.
Podium. There's a switch in the right-hand side.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to approach a subject that Your Honor raised in the issue of the term actually and what that actually means in this situation. And I think an interesting case has just come out of the Western District for Washington State, United States District Court, dealing exactly with this case. The name of the case is Gem East versus Jewelers Mutual.
File a Rule 28G letter with this citation?
Your Honor, this information just came to me on Friday.
You're not allowed to discuss new cases at oral argument without notifying
your
adversary.
Fair enough,
Let's
Your
go
Honor.
To what state courts have said. When state courts have discussed the word actually, how have they understood it in a policy like this?
That it resolves any ambiguity and that it underscores the plain meaning of in or upon.
Well, what would you do with a case where the person gets out of the car? We'll say he gets out of the car, he locks it, and he's just filling it with gas.
At that point, Your Honor, if we're speaking of Illinois law, which is Bliss Ring.
No, just give a straight answer.
I think he has left his vehicle.
Well, that's ridiculous. How is he how is he going to function if he can't put gas in his car?
Agreeable, Your Honor.
I mean, what would this? I don't understand.
If he's got his hand on the trunk while he's filling it up with gas, is he upon the vehicle?
I would agree with you, Your Honor. Yes,
well, but now this is the most preposterous thing I've ever heard. Right. So if he touches the car, he's got insurance, and if he doesn't touch it, he doesn't.
I would backtrack, Your Honor, and say.
Where are you backtrack? How far are you going to backtrack now?
If he's filling up the gas, I would say that he is upon his vehicle.
All right. Now he's filled up the gas. Now he has to pay for the gas.
Right. Absolutely.
So he has to. So I mean, unless he's paid with a card at the pump. Mm-hmm. So he's locked the car. Now he goes into the gas station to pay. Is he in or upon the car?
No, Your Honor.
So it's all right to pump the car. It's all right to pump the gas, but you can't pay for it, or what?
I don't know if it's a question of okay to pay for your gas. It's the question of what the terms of this contract.
Well,
what is the
sense of your position, right? He's done everything he can to protect the diamonds. He's locked them in the trunk. He's put them in a safe, in the trunk. And then he's pumped the gas, which, according to you, he's actually in or upon the car when he's pumping the gas, even though he's not in it in a literal sense. He's not upon it, not touching it. Now he has to pay for it. He's supposed to drive off without paying?
No, I don't think that's the intention.
What's he supposed to do?
In that situation, if he's locked his car and put the diamonds in the trunk, that's a different scenario than the one that's presented to the court right now.
Of course it is. Obviously it is. So I'm asking you how you deal with that situation.
I still think he is not in or upon the vehicle. And what the term being the key
well,
term being actually.
Well, he's not in or upon, yes, and he's not actually in or upon when he's pumping the gas. But you said that's okay. You're going to stretch the policy that far. You're going to let him pump the gas, but you're not going to let him pay for it.
Right.
Well, what's the sense of that? Does it make any sense, or is that just the law?
It makes perfect sense to me.
It makes perfect sense.
That we're dealing with diamonds and jewelry.
How's he supposed to pay for the gas, right?
Well, in this situation, he didn't even lock
his
car.
Not this situation. Obviously, right. I'm not talking about this situation.
We were
talking about a hypothetical case. You say it's fine if he's pumping the gas, someone comes along, takes the car, he's still covered. Now you're saying he can pump it, but he can't pay for it.
Mr. Wood, I think what Judge Posner is trying to ask you is, why does it matter whether you're 1 foot or you're 5 feet away from the vehicle if you're keeping your eye on the vehicle?
Because that's not what the policy requires, Your Honor. When you're speaking of actually in or upon, and what the courts have held those terms to mean is literal in your vehicle or you're upon your vehicle.
Except
and if you're
you
1 foot,
except you just. You just repudiated that view.
I would think that if you're pumping gas, you're upon your vehicle.
Well, that's ridiculous. Well, of course you're not upon your vehicle when you're pumping gas. What does that mean, upon your vehicle?
It means in the actual sense, upon the vehicle.
No, it doesn't. That's not how the English language
Well, that's how
operates.
The courts have interpreted it, Your Honor.
All right, so the courts, in other words, take English and they deform it. Presumably to carry out some policy, right?
No, Your Honor. They look at the terms of the policy
no,
and
they
the actual
don't. No,
word
just,
language
no, they
actually
don't.
In or upon.
No, don't you understand? You just said when a person is pumping gas, he's not actually in or upon the car. But the courts say, well, we're going to treat that as if it were in or upon. So they're going to stretch the language. And then the question is, how far are they going to stretch it?
In this situation, it's not able to be stretched because we don't have that situation before us. He wasn't pumping his gas. He wasn't paying for gas. He left his window open, depending on what story you want to believe in now, but we'll do exactly what the district court did, which is take their statement of facts, you know, verbatim and cite to it. He's at least 5 feet away from this vehicle when he is speaking to this woman. He's not in his car. He's not upon his car. He's not pumping gas. He's not paying for gas. He's not doing anything. And he left the jewelry in the front seat of his car. He could have put it in the trunk. He could have locked his car. He could have done many things. But he didn't do anything.
What would happen if he picked up a hitchhiker and the hitchhiker snatched the diamonds?
Is he driving the automobile when this happens?
Yeah.
Then he's in his car. Then the loss is covered under that exclusion. I think.
Is there another exclusion?
Well, no. I think that he's covered in that situation. And to go back,
you're making the policy sound really preposterous, aren't you?
I don't know if I apologize if I am, Your Honor, but
some, you know, you've got some scruffy, some scruffy guy by the road, you know, hails him, some scruffy ne'er-do-well. And he's got the diamonds in an open bag, right, on the seat. And so he says, yeah, I'll give you a ride. Just move these diamonds over. You don't want to sit on the diamonds. Move them over a little. So the hitchhiker picks up the diamonds and leaves. It's coverage.
He was in his vehicle, Your Honor.
Yeah. It's kind of stupid, isn't it? I mean, what's going on?
Unfortunately, I didn't draft the policy what the reasoning behind it.
You don't think about what's the reasoning behind it. That's not your business.
That's
the reason for these.
Not what
in what sense had Mr. Solomon abandoned the vehicle if he was still in the parking lot, just a few feet away, and keeping his eye on the car?
Well, I think Your Honor is what the case law has held, that by making a actual motion away from your vehicle. And even if we're going to cite to this California state case, the EMMI, you would have to be engaged in a routine necessary activity or attending your vehicle. And even under that scenario, Mr. Solomon is not attending his vehicle. He has made a determination to walk away. So if we're going to speak of intent, what was his intent? His intent was to go talk to that lady, not to attend to his vehicle, not to watch the diamonds. He went to talk to that lady. That's an abandonment of that under that scenario.
I don't see how you can ask us to use the word abandon in this highly idiosyncratic way and still ask us to read the word upon in a literal, if not archaic, way. I mean, one can say all the words in this policy are going to be read in terms of normal English usage and we're not bending anything. But the way you're treating the word abandon, well, you're reading it with abandon.
I apologize, Your Honor. I don't think I need to even get to the term abandon in this matter. I think that the terms of actually in or upon are taken literally, and in this situation he was not in or upon his vehicle. Even setting that issue aside, there's the issue of personal conveyance clause, which says it has to be on his person. So we can speak of in or upon and intent and how we're going to develop this, but he still doesn't get coverage because he didn't have the diamonds within his person or under his direct control.
Within his person? I don't know what you're doing.
On his person, in his hands?
In his
pockets? In a backpack, on his bag? I mean, they're in the car.
In his pockets? It has to be in his pockets?
No, it has to be on his person.
On his person?
I would think if you're holding the bag, if you have the bag on your backpack.
But you're driving and you're holding it with one hand, what are you talking about?
I'm speaking in this situation,
Your Honor. You're driving and you're wearing a backpack? What are you talking about?
I'm speaking of Mr. Solomon's situation of why he would not have coverage.
Yes,
under
Yes, but are you saying that if you're driving and it's in the trunk, it's not on your person and therefore there's no coverage? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know how that would apply. It would not be in his person. It has to be in his direct control.
So
and if it's in the trunk, it's not in his direct control.
He has to be touching it?
It has to be in his direct control.
Does he have to be touching it?
I think if it's either on his person or in his direct control, so it's either or.
What does it mean, direct control?
Sitting right next to him.
Why is that in his direct control?
Because his hands can grab it.
That's better than being locked in a trunk?
I don't know.
He invites the hitchhiker in, and that's fine, even though the diamonds are sitting on the seat, but if they're locked in the trunk.
Make the policy sound senseless.
Well, I'm sorry if I'm making the policy sound senseless. I think the problem is the actions that were undertaken
are
senseless. What you're
now arguing is that the more secure the diamonds are, the more care is taken. If they have, say, a secret trap compartment in the car where not only is safe but it's hidden, then immediately the coverage of the policy ceases. That the only thing the policy covers is when the diamonds are open and obvious and available for any thief to take.
No, Your Honor. That's what you've
now said to us about control.
The issue is in that situation would be when you're in transit, and I believe what the policy is speaking to is a situation where you're now leaving your vehicle and walking to perhaps the store, and you have it on your person. Or that type of situation, whereas in and upon is the actual vehicle itself. I think the personal conveyance is in that situation. They're basically telling you, have the diamonds on you. It's common sense. It's unfortunate that he didn't take them.
On you. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, carrying it is not ridiculous.
On you or sitting beside you on the seat when you invite the hitchhiker in.
Well,
either one, right?
There would be careless actions on his part. I would.
But he'd still be covered.
It's a good thing the floor is not made out of quicksand, or you would be sinking.
Fair enough, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Wood. And Ms. Ayala, how much time does she have? 1 minute?
I think that when parties enter into an insurance contract, it's reasonable that the risk be allocated between both parties. And an insurer who enters into this contract has to understand that the insurer does need to take care of the diamonds. The question is, what were you supposed to do? Were you supposed to have them with you in the car and not leave them behind? Yes. Did he leave them behind? No, he didn't, except for an intervening act. The difference between all the cases that found no coverage and the few that did is that there was no intervening act in the other cases that caused him to part with the diamonds. If we don't like the word abandonment, and I see that we don't, something caused him to part with the diamonds.
But now, it was free will, wasn't it?
It was free will for him to walk over there, but many times things happen in our lives that compel us, and he was compelled.
Well, he was too
he was
nice, wasn't he? He was just a very nice man who...
Maybe so. Nevertheless, there was something that compelled, different from the cases where even a person stopped to go and ask directions or go and buy the coffee or what, all those different cases, where they really were on an intended course. Here, he was interrupted from the intended course, and that's why I think that there should be coverage. There should be coverage. That's consistent with the reasonable expectations of the insured. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Ayala and Mr. Wood. Next case for argument.